Say what? Where are the people imagine that which is mine? The kings of the earth and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed one, saying, let us break the bands asunder and cast their course from. It was as if a meeting was held. Because the Bible said the heathen and the kings were as if there was a council meeting that was reached. And in that meeting, it was decided how the agenda of the meeting came. It was how can we do damage to God that is focused. After many hours of deliberation, they struggled upon that idea. He said, let us break their bounds. If you know God alone, you know that the reason why God needs to exercise his authority is because he wants to fulfill an eternal purpose. That's the sole reason why God's government was being placed. That is the purpose that God wants to achieve. Don't you know that when you have not yet given your life to Christ, God has, you could do anything you wanted. But when you came under the authority of the Spirit, he put you under lock and key. There were several liberties you used to enjoy as an unbeliever that you can no longer enjoy now because the government of God comes to restrict you so that no spirit can outstrategize you successfully in the realm of the Spirit. Government, when it comes upon you, that's a proof that they are full of God. It's not by reason of what you utter with your lips. It's by reason of that which you have allowed to rule you. When we get into the implications of life, we will find out that the true meaning of life is in pain, glory, and growth. In your most natural state of existence, what do you give expression to? And these guys came and said, if we can remove the government of God from the lives of this people, if we can take away the fear of God from the lives of this people, then something else will govern them. Something else will become the object of that fear. And the purpose of God will never come to pass, because if God must fulfill his purpose, he must of necessity have to exercise his authority. Are you still here? And so the guys came after meticulous research. Let us break their bands asunder, cast their cross from us. The Bible says, he that sitteth in the heavens, he shall bow. The reason why God laughs is because there's no scheme of darkness that takes him out of the heavens. I pray that God will give us the grace to know him more. And if he gives you such a privilege, you will find out that even before the devil starts, he's acting on a place of failure. They will be success, victory. Glory are things that are defined and achieved in time. They are things that can only be understood from eternity. Just in case you have 2 cars parked, you have 2 degrees, and you have so many clothes in your wardrobe, and that's your definition of success. You are a poor man. Because success must always pan with a reference. A man can only be successful to the degree to which he compares his life with a plumb line. If you are a seed of eternity and you began before time began, as a seed of eternity in the thoughts of God, then of necessity your life will be measured out and measured with that which was the very principle upon which your creation was factored. We can only say you are successful with respect to your purpose. You might have 4 cars parked, you might have 2 master's degrees, and if by no means that is the evaluation from the standpoint of your purpose, you fail. And so God is not troubled when the devil says, moves around the motion. The devil's movement is not in tandem with that which he has obtained from eternity. And there's nothing you can do in time to erase that which began from eternity. So he that sitteth in heaven is a what? Many witches have been tormenting you, doing several things, bringing delay into your life, I assure you. If the Lord allowed it, it's because he has set you up for an acceleration. An acceleration that will not only make up for the time lost. An acceleration that will undo the works of the devil. And we know the reason why he won't allow it in the first place, so that you can get some substance, you can know him more. So at the end of the day, you gain all ways. You gain because through the process you learn spiritual condition. Through the process you learn how to trust in God. Through the process you began to discover the might of God. Because I found out that except there's trouble around, people don't get to know their God. And so one said, why the Lord allows a few demons? One knocks you in the night time. One holds you by the hand in the daytime. Just to keep you in check. It's just like that messenger of Satan that was sent to prevent Paul. And Paul cried and said, Lord. He said, no, don't worry, I have grace sufficient. I know you survived it. And that's why I allowed it. And the Bible never said how long it existed. But it was just there to put it under lock and key and check. Because of the abundance of revelation that we have to fellowship with. At the end of it, he that sits in the heavens is alive. I don't know whether in your life you have seen a particular season of attacks. Come to nothing. Have you ever seen that before? So much worry. Nobody wanted you to graduate. Your papers were getting lost. All kinds of stuff happening. When exams come, you become sick. Bad things take place on Monday. Bad things on Sunday. You don't know which day is school. Not by a word. The thing that the devil brings in here still came to pass. All the same. But you see, it came to pass. That's not just the testimony. But you became a stronger man by going through that process. The Bible says, he that sits in heaven shall not. That's my prayer, Paul. Lord, let it be that which makes you laugh in heaven in the midst of chaos. Let us have a revelation of it. So that we can smile in the midst of the storm. We can sing when the devils cry out. We can proclaim the song of victory and triumph. When the fire burns and the seas rage, give us a revelation of what makes you laugh. He that sits in the heavens, he's alive. Kapale no sali. Shande kos kapra na hala. Listen to me, you don't understand my prayer point here. If you are a Christian long enough, you'll find out. It's not every time you pray for God to take you out of trouble that God answers. Because there's a time you come into in your walk with God that you need trouble as an accessory for your spiritual growth. The reason why the Bible assures us that we'll match up with wings is because he will give you grace. He's just telling you that he will give you grace to go through the storm. That's what he's saying. I hope you know. He did remove the storm, but what he did was that he gave you grace to mount up. That means it's not about to remove the storm. The storms will last for a long time, but it gives you the ability to be able to mount up. And if you know how to mount up, you find out that you need the storm as an accessory for mounting. Mounting doesn't take place because you know how to flap your wings. But mounting takes place because you have designed the direction of the storm and you know how to take advantage of its potential to go to the next best part of glory. We are beggarly, sick, weak, wicked Christians that don't know their God. Many times when pressure comes, they deny him. I tell you the truth, don't be too hard on Judas. The likes of him lit our peace. But we pray today for a revelation. What is it that makes God laugh in the midst of storm? People are parting cool, putting their heads together to undo that which is dominion and storm. And he sits in heaven. He does what? That doesn't look like the posture of one that is a fighter. A fighter needs to clinch his jaws and his fist. Looks for a weapon to translate his anger and vengeance most accurately. But the Bible says that when there were proteins on earth, when kings gathered against him, he just sat in heaven. And laughed. It means there's something God knows that we don't know. You might hear on the news and say, a bombing took place here. But if you check where he that sits in heaven, he loves. Every time the devil makes an attempt to attack you and he fails to succeed, he has given you an advantage He has made you superior than him. That demon that was rejected, that assault, can no longer have the advantage over your life. That category of spirits that did that, you in your authority, because of your obedience to God in that situation, you are gained acceptance. And any time you say to those kind of demons, hey, they keep going. Because they tried to get you to deny God, and in the process they facilitated your process to God. It's not just enough for you to be seated with Christ in the heavens, far above principalities and powers. That's not just the credential that you use to cast out devils. Because the Bible says that you have the readiness to repent every disobedience when your own obedience is complete. And your strength is evaluated in the day of adversity. For the Bible says that he that falleth, the day of adversity, it is because his strength is small. We proclaim a day where in the midst of storm, men like God will laugh. Because of the deep-seated understanding of God's peace, of the fact that God cannot be taken unawares, of the fact that at the end of the book, God won. I pray that God will help us today. First of all, you need to pray that God will grant you that revelation, that you cast in your heart, like the burglary proof on your window side, that which will not make you fret when people won't help us scatter, that God will release his peace upon your soul. Can you pray today and say, Lord, give me revelation of that which makes you laugh? The peace of God is to come upon us. The spirit of terror seeks to come into the land. But the Bible speaks about a peace that passes all understanding. Let that peace stabilize us, act as a pillar, make us strong, make us established, make us operate beyond the forces of darkness that seek to inspire scare and terror in the land. He that sits in the house is alive.
Thank you.
We cannot be servants of the Prince of Peace and not know peace. Peace cannot be fully articulated until there is crisis in the environment. That's the only way we can prove that the source of that peace has its roots in the realm of the Spirit. As speak of peace, the kind that Jesus manifested when he was in the boat in the midst of the storm, and the people that were skilled in the waves of the water had put out all of their expertise on display, only to find out that that kind of storm was not such that they were so familiar with. And they reached back into the very depth of the ship and quickened him and said, "Carest not thou that you perish?" He was asleep. And speak of the peace that Peter had when he was in the midst of a very, very confined prison and security detention center. In order to make sure that he doesn't vanish, he was kept in the company of skilled soldiers. The Bible says that when the angel came for a visit, the guy was asleep. And his sleep was quite deep. He knew peace. The proof of peace is your reaction and activity in the midst of contrary environment. Because in the midst of war, God in heaven was not. There's something that he knows that we need to know. I'm telling you, there's no form of natural knowledge that can atone for the depths of God's knowledge. If you are still human and natural, you are missing the mark. That's not God's vision. God's vision for every recreated entity is that you will be supernormal, carrying a human vessel, but operating the life of God. And the characteristics of God have been manifested through the human attributes. Self-control is not natural. Because self-control can only be put to the real test when you are under pressure to act. And there is a power of the inside compelling you to resist. It's not something you are trying to do with willpower. It is the power of the life that is eternal. Ministering and tempering your excesses. Bringing you under intense power and government. So that you don't respond like a man. Peace is something that we must pray for continually. Because the spirit of terror has come to take peace out of the land. But the Bible speaks of a peace that surpasses every form of understanding. That is what God has called us to. And we will accept nothing short of that. Hallelujah. There are legitimate missionaries sent to Kano that ran away because of crisis. Meanwhile, it was God. It means there's something that was lacking. The peace of God. That passes all understanding. Because the mandate of God for you to go to a particular locality guarantees your protection even in the midst of famine. But if you don't know peace, you will behave like the average man in town. May the peace of the Lord make rest upon your heart. May it bring tranquility to your system.
Amen.
May it trigger hope into your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can welcome your neighbor as you take your seat. It's a doctor. You are welcome in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A body has played us. It's on the strength of the body that we gather today. Christianity suffers loss. There's decay, decadence, and decline. And we believe that part of the generation that will seek the recovery of that which God established on the day of Pentecost, in its full course and its mature and brilliant expressions, we refuse to submit ourselves to the aberration that we see on display today, that is devoid of life, power, and the kingdom, dominion dimension that the apostolic days enjoy. We have decided to go back to the roots of all things, to examine our knowledge of God, how much of God we know. As we seek to evaluate that, we'll be going through a few scriptures. And I trust that God will quicken us in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My question to you today, and I expect you to refer that question to the person sitting close to you: how much of God do you really know? We went somewhere the other time, and when we came into the service, we were giving speak Lord. If we don't shout here, we know you guys shout everywhere on the streets, but here we don't shout. Hallelujah. Make sure you don't get moved to clap your hands. You'll be sent out of the auditorium. And all these ladies you came with, without headgear, they are not even allowed here in the first place. But we're so kind that you provide black headgear for anyone you came with without it. We seek Jesus with gravity, but you call his name on the streets. Hallelujah. We have to bow down to the testament of that place. But before the service ended, we all shouted at Jesus. Because several people were overwhelmed with the Holy Ghost. And you know, when the Holy Ghost is in control, he dictates the volume of the shout. I like those days. Well, the truth is, I'll never be invited back there again, but I guess that time was good. We need to evaluate our knowledge of God. What have you been doing in the name of God? How much of God does it manifest? You'll get offended during the service today, but I know we'll make up before we share the grace. There's so much depravity that the average Christian knows how to go through the motion. Understand church language that keeps speaking it even though it dies. But the gospel I see in the book of Acts of the Apostles is full of power. And them that heralded it rattled the foundation of cities. Great governments were brought to their knees because there was a power that propelled them that even the scourge of death could not tickle them. I see what we call Christianity today having a beggarly look, seeking for survival in the midst of harshness and severe crisis in the earth. I think it's time for us to invoke the power that made the apostles cry, preach and promise. Because if we lose touch with that, what we have is a religion. And it's a bad one. It's a bad religion. Jesus did not come to establish a religion. He came to show us the dynamics of the manifestation of Zoe, the life of God. And if that's what you claim you are, I came to show you through Bible study the characteristics of that life. Jesus was the one that said, "This is eternal life. That they might know you." From that you come to realize that Jesus' definition of eternal life is qualitative. Eternal life is just about the qualities that the life of God sustains. That's not my message anyway. I'm just passing through that page. The life of God sustains qualities just like the life of man sustains qualities. It's the life of man that makes you know that you are hungry. I hope that your knowledge of hunger is a knowing in your body. It's not as if something rises up from your inside and begins to rise. Hunger! But your life has the facility, it has the faculty to reveal when you are hungry. And you don't need anybody to tell you. And somebody close to you may not be hungry. And you may be hungry, and you feel hungry. The person is not hungry, he doesn't feel hungry. Because everybody has the education that comes with every form of life. But you didn't hear that. Please help me tell your neighbor. There's education that comes with every form of life. For instance, you don't need to teach a dog how to bark. Have you ever done that before? Have you had a dog before? Raise the dog. You have never raised a dog before? Never. Who has raised a dog before? I have. Did you eventually teach the dog how to bark? It's embedded in the life in cats. And that mind sustains a capacity for education. It's that mind that has the capacity to educate the dog how to bark, because barking is part of dog life. So we know human life because our humanity has educated us to understand how to respond to the knowledge that it brings to us. Oh my God, you're not with me. I think the devil is still here. We need to still pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God went as far as the Holy Spirit so that we can know Him, and yet there is a lack of knowledge of God on display. People are proud not to know God. Posters everywhere in the city inviting people for a music concert, and God will show up. Everything happened except God. And people came and left the place with a smile. If any old, if any ancient was there at all, anyone that has the knowledge of the presence of God, he should leave the place crying and pray intensely for the level of depravity that has beguiled the heart of the people that put up that meeting. Many times we travel from coast to attend ministers' conference only to meet lectures. Lectures. Have you been in a lecture room before? Sorry, lecture. Alright. But nobody gets baptized in the Holy Spirit in the lecture room. Nobody gets saved in the lecture room. I'm talking about lectures. Nothing changes in the lecture room. Travel to a ministers' conference expecting to meet the God of the whole earth. And then we settle again for lectures with fires and tasks of it. Oh my God. We need to prove our knowledge of God and get back to the foundation. That's how we came this week. Before we go halfway, you know how much of God you know. Because most of us know more of religion and little or nothing of God. We know how things are done in the service. You know how Christians should speak and talk. Christianity goes beyond what you can do and what you can approximate. The testimony of a life that is not in the earth. It is the way God's life. Only one man had it. He put that life on display to show us the qualities that that life sustains. So if Jesus, by definition, now tells us that this is eternal life, that they may know you, knowledge is a quality. Are you still with me? Oh my God. Okay, let me keep that one. And since you are not ready, let me go to my sermon. I want to give you some extra points that will provoke you to take a fast, a dry fast. Hallelujah. Most of us have ate too much for a lifetime. I've never seen a man that was given a trophy for eating. Yeah, not in Benue State. Even if it's in Kenya, we have not done that in Benue. Every day there's one old young one guy came home and said, he spoke in language. Since morning I've not heard the sound of a mortar yet. And I looked at him and pitied him. Did the Lord give you understand? That the mortar has not spoken since morning. Oh my God. Such a man, the way of salvation will be difficult for him. If the devil was able to beguile us by giving us food, then God will educate you by taking food away from you. You must know that. May the Lord give you understanding. Most of us do Christianity like our father's religion. I was born into it, that's how we do it. We meet on Sunday morning. And then you pick your Bible on Sunday morning, and then you must go to church because your father went to church. How I wish God will open your understanding to me. I'm not going to church because my father went to church. I'm not even going to church because I studied the Bible. Because in the Bible you see the Christ of doctrine, what he did, how he healed. But this man that the Bible testifies about is still alive. I know the living Christ, the one that is alive. I know him. And if your knowledge of him is accurate and your experience of him is accurate, you will see that the testimonies of scriptures will be true concerning your testimony. I've gone past the book. I live in the reality of what the book testifies about. And that's where Christianity starts from. If you stop by the book, you are a religion freak. But if the book points to something that is your experience, you have contact with the living Christ. And so our evaluation needs to begin tonight. I trust God to help us articulate the volume of things that we've been speaking about and for Him to grant us understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I see somebody in this hall, one of your ears is not hearing us, the other ear. I don't know how to put it right. One of your ears is experiencing some form of deafness. It hears, but not like the other ear. Hallelujah. See, as we teach and preach today, God will begin to touch the place and it will begin to teach you. I know the living Christ, the one that the scriptures speak about. I've encountered him. I spoke to him today. He spoke back to me. He's alive. He's well. He's not sick. Doesn't have a fever. If all you know is what you read in the pages of the book, you are a blind man, like someone that goes to Calvary. All you have is sets of principles in your thoughts, and that's good. Because the Bible in its logos contains the thoughts of God. And it's good for us to know how God thinks, to help us adjust. Hallelujah. But that's not Christianity. Anybody can read those scriptures and adjust. I've seen several people of different faiths. They have Bibles at the bottom of their cupboard. They have not yet given their life to Christ, but they like the thoughts of God. As much as possible, they try to adjust. Christianity is not adjustment. It's not trying to adjust, to approximate. It's not trying to modify. It is so well on display at God. And so that you can understand how that life is. And when it comes into you and begins to function, you will give it a passageway for it to grow inside of you until it consumes your entire being and becomes the basis upon which you do what you do. What is your God is what you display and express when you're under pressure. That's what your God is. I know you didn't hear me. The Bible says no one can serve two masters because the average Christian believe that it's possible to go a little here and balance here. They won't preach that anyway, but they lead it. That's their lifestyle. And you will know what influence someone is under when the person comes under pressure. That's when you know how much of God the person contains. They were giving a price for an injection in the hospital. And he shouted, there's no problem. You might start when you are giving an injection, there's nothing wrong about it. But see, the problem was that when what he shouted was the name of the idol in his village. That one is a problem. You are not with me. Mande for sale. Most of us put on colors, but the thing we fall for at the end of the day in the midst of pressure doesn't look like Jesus. That's religion. And there's nobody such a man will teach that will know God, even if he uses the Bible, because it's not in touch with the living Christ. Now, that Christ that resurrected from the dead, that came into the company of the apostles, and with them, he walked through the wall and gave us a peace. Have you met him before? If you have not met him, you are not even born again. When we were religious place, I thought people knew God, I didn't know. 80% of them are possessed of devils. We have to sit down. My mission this year is to make sure that people are born again. I am my father. There's a way, the life of God. You can't understand it except to know what the life of man does. The life of man is what educates you about hunger. You know that you are hungry. Educates you and you know that you need sleep. You are tired. Educates you and you know that you need something to drink because you are thirsty. The life of man that gives you such education. But when you come in contact with the life of God begins to give you a new set of education. Hallelujah. And then suddenly, if you pray on Monday, pray on Tuesday, pray on Wednesday, and you don't pray on Thursday, you now feel a lack on the occasion. It's the life of God that gave you that feeling. You feel uncomfortable, you cannot place it, or you don't feel cool. Ventilation leads to what there is. What is happening to you is that your friend is calling. Say, where are thou? That's a situation that happened in Egypt. When God stepped down, I was looking for his partner. I couldn't find him in a better place. Where are thou? That child is still alive today. And in many hearts, the cry has come and come until it has died. Because people that cry will not cry forever. People don't understand that in order for you to know God, you must understand the way of covenant. Every man that gained mastery in the ways of God was such that knew that it would break a covenant. Because of the inconsistency of man, God will bring him to a point where he covenants. So if you are still praying your Christianity casually, I saw you, you backslided long ago. What it means to backslide is that you are no longer in touch with present with the present revelation position of the Spirit. You are no longer in touch, it means you are backslidden. Because in that your state, you are not so valuable to God. The knowledge of God has been made mystical. Something that you need to seek on Sunday morning. In an atmosphere that is pious and sanctimonious. Meanwhile, the God of the New Testament is a life-giving spirit. And just like you know how you were, how you felt when you were hungry, you will feel stronger if he has something to communicate with you. Pray on Monday, pray on Tuesday, and on Wednesday you decide to sleep because you were tired. And then you pass by and cry. If you are wise, you will know that that cry will not last forever. And just in case you frustrate that cry before you get it again, it will take an effort, a desperate effort that is occasioned by the searching power of your human will. You see, people are casual. Sometimes God just comes and puts you with an anointing. Many believers cannot maintain it because they don't understand covenant. Any increase in God you have, you see, it puts you, your lifestyle must change to maintain it. I told you won't like what I'm preaching, and I've not started. I'm greeting you. Some of you stole something before you came here. You told lies today. I'm just praying. As I'm talking now, you are being washed. Alright? When you are fully redeemed, you will now enter the scripture. Because the average person sitting here doesn't have the vision to be consistent with God. He just like campsites. Anytime the place is set and I don't walk in, oh my God. The knowledge of God and the pursuit of God, we are pecked. If you came to church a dying man and God begins to walk on you, the first thing he might ask for is your God. He might say, go. Give all your jeans, trousers, out and go play for 5 years. If your pursuit of God has not cost you anything, you are serving the devil. I know you didn't hear that. I will come back again. I think I need to be scriptures with the things I'm saying. If God speaks to you, that speaking is not fashioned by human. Anything is human. And it will attack your humanity. Because human life has a nature of promoting self-centeredness. That's human life. And when God's life is a manifestation, it produces and provokes God consciousness. Are you with me? Or you are not with me? Or you hate what I'm saying? I traveled far to come and say this thing. Alright? And this is the only thing I'll be saying today. In Jesus' name. Travel so far. Like started 8 o'clock? No, 4 a.m. And then I reached my calling 5 p.m. in the evening. So come and tell you this. I assure you, every time of my being will say it. And you see these cameras, we are placing it for the world to see. Christianity has lost its footing. And until a generation like Elijah stands up, I say, if I be a man of God, we need to call fire again for people to believe in God. Are you not tired of going to church every Sunday? If I ask the average person, why do you go to church? It's a cliche, it's a religion. There's no time. You don't even understand what you're doing. That's why they place a bomb, you will not go. You will not go. If you you just say, oh boy, let's calm down. See, this tea, right? We can talk to God about how. We were there. 10 days ago when Raja started in camp, we were there. Have I come close to a dagger before of death? Many times. And then when the people that were killing people saw that these ones are ready to die, they left. But people like you that were wrong, they will face you to your bedroom. You must know something. There must be peace on your inside. They are convinced that you come from God, then you go back to God. That's what Jesus said. But if you are not sure where you have come from, fight for your life. Because I saw you. You don't have hope. The Bible says Jesus knew that he had come from God and he was going back to God. Where are you from? I think I'm here to make some people quit from Christianity. The one you are doing is useless. That's what I'm saying. Don't continue. Don't feed the seeds. You are causing problems to the world. Go back to the farm. If you let Azure Spirit, go and know him. Because you must know something now to survive. It's either you know God well or know the devil well. And any path you decide to go to be the consequences. I thought an amen will come at that point. It will be weak. It will come well. The Lord did not understand. And we are proud to make a religion out of Christianity. But God has called us to fellowship in his life. He has made adequate provision for us to know him. So that none of us will be religious people, but every one of us will know the living Christ.
Hallelujah.
I said that the eternal life is a qualitative aspect of the divine life. It has nothing to do with living in an everlasting fashion. Just a revelation of the quality of the divine life. And the divine life sustains several qualities. One of the qualities of the divine life is that it sustains the capacity to punish the knowledge of God. Your pastor needs to be born again to be able to talk about God. There's a pastor in Lagos that said he was born again from his mother's womb. They are not here. What did he say? He said what? He was born again from his mother's womb and he's teaching the Bible. But the only possibility of the knowledge of God is that you have the life of God. Because the life of God is qualitative in nature. And one of the functions of that life is that it provides the knowledge of what? God. The Bible says we have received anointing from the Holy One and we know all things. We know what? The Bible says that the Spirit that is in us searches all things, even the deep things of God. If you don't have the life of God that is imparted into you by the Spirit of God, there's no possibility for the knowledge of God. Did you get that? Or you didn't get it? I think we need to pray. The mind, there's something. Oh my God. Jesus. Help us. Let's pray. Let's pray. Rise up, please. Rise up. We didn't come here for church. We didn't come here for a good service. We didn't come here for good songs and good singing. I came to cry out for a generation that will bring the reformation, that will restore the knowledge of God. Knowledge of God that will be swept out of the back door. But the clergyman still knows how to put his tongue. Can we cry to God and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself.
I want you. I'm proud for your power. I need you.
Treasure. granted the bounties of the coming rain will break out in the life of everyone. Let him that is weak say, I'm strong. Let him that is poor say, I'm rich. Let us beat our cannon box into weapons of war. And let them which say, I am strong. Let there be a transformation, a renewal, a release, an impartation. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
You may sit down. We just did that so that people receive some spiritual bread. There was no moment in it. So many of us are used to the religion of God, Christianity, that we forget that it's not a religion. God brought us to a point where we partake of a life that is not of earth. And in understanding this life, it's needful for us to see the example and the pattern man that God used to manifest through, so that we can understand the many colors of His manifestation. Are you still with me now? I say, are you here? I start by saying that the eternal life is a qualitative aspect of the divine life. Meaning that the divine life sustains different qualities. And one of the qualities of the divine life, of the eternal life, is that it sustains the quality of making us know God. And there is no possibility of knowing God outside of the life of God. I said that there's a pastor in Lagos that claimed that he was born again from his mother's womb, but he's teaching a congregation today. You can teach anything you want to teach, but if you are teaching God, you must have the divine life, because that's the only possibility for you to access the knowledge of God. Secondly, the divine life has another quality, the quality of illumination. It happens to be that we are spirit beings, and God needs to give us insight about the realm of our reality. And it is the divine life that operates in us as illumination, as God takes us beyond the scope of our mind, the knowledge we acquired in the library and in the classroom, to bring us to a point where we can access the epignosis, which is the revealed knowledge of Christ. In Scripture, you will see that there is this relationship between light and revelation. If God wants to say revelation, sometimes He says light. Are you still here? We are not here. Oh my God. How can we journey when we can't have a foundation here? That life will take you to a place and give you access to a kind of knowledge that you not acquire naturally. It has the faculty of bringing illumination. Because Jesus has said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me will by no means walk in darkness. He was talking about, but shall have the light of light, because His life has the capacity of affording us the light of God, the illumination of God. So the life of God, or eternal life, sustains the quality of illumination. We are going to touch these things in another session. The knowledge, the life, the resurrection. The third quality of eternal life, or the divine life, is His ability to quicken that which is dead. Because Jesus has said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We know the life, but we don't know the resurrection. There's need for the resurrection, because you come to realize that you cannot do spiritual things in your life. How many of you have tried on end to have a prayer life and failed? Be sincere. You wanted to have a prayer life, but you failed. You took up by an act of your will and said, it is Monday, the 9th of August. Today, I am reborn in the spirit as a warrior. For 2 days, you have locked up. Because sustaining a prayer life is not the function of the position of your will. It is given, it's only in the hands of Him that is called the resurrection. Christ as a resurrection is a quickening spirit that quickens your mortal bones so that you can do the will of God. The will of God operates and exists on the frequency of the spirit, and except you are taken to that frequency, you cannot do His will. No man can do the will of God naturally. You must be empowered, energized, quicken. Oh my God. To do the will of God. So there is a function in that life that we call the reference. It is the Bible that says, quicken us and we shall call upon thy name. In order for you to pray, you must experience Christ as the resurrection. You must be quickened to pray. Many times people call me on the phone and say, Pastor, we have lost the ability to pray. I say, that means you are depending solely on your spirit. There are several times when the light that is back in your spirit will go down to zero level. When you get to that time, you use your soul, your will, to push your spirit. It means you pray intentionally. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel the grace to pray. There's no storm for prayer. Use your will to assist your spirit. And as you keep pushing it, you get to a place where you come and stand under the rain. And then the quickening spirit goes into action. The fluidity of your tongues change. Your empowerment on the inside, your capacity changes. God knows that there are limitations with your humanity. And that's why he has provided a facility by which we can be quickened. He said, quicken us. We shall call upon thy name. For every spiritual thing that God requires from you, you need a spiritual power to be able to obey. You will hear that God said to Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, even Isaac, and offer him to me on a mountain that I will show you. You think it was natural obedience? Do you think you can obey that instruction? Evangelist, God now releases a boy into your hand and says, evangelist, take that song. It's not natural, it's not normal. Don't play that game in the night. Don't try it. No. For men to function that way, they had to be wicked. No normal human being will do that. And you read some things in the Bible that was facilitated by the quickening of God, and you want to do it naturally, that's religion. At best, you'll be a liar. That's why I hate religion in passion. It's a lie! It's not true. Because it can only be true if you are quickened to do it. I will never spend one day in religion because I know it's darkness. For so long, we wear one trouser that didn't touch the ground. Was a mark of devotion and sanctity to God. And I perfected it. The ways of piety, of sanctity. Hey! But there was no God in it. And me, I wouldn't see myself for long. We can be going like I know there's nothing. After a long time, I sat down with my Bible and said, God, if you spoke before I speak today. My journey started from the Bible. Read that night. I heard you speak to people. Speak to me today. And guess what? When he began to speak to me, I saw that many things he said were contrary to what we were taught. And I knew that the only way I could be a teacher of truth and verity was that I would have to discover God myself and teach him as I see him. I knew that the only way I could survive was to partner and parry and submit to people that don't go and preach in the truth and spirit. I changed my mentors. I changed the people I look up in God. Travel to the north and suffer for a man, the last of his kind, that still believed that Jesus was his first audience. And I came and said, I came from far. The fact that I came from far didn't change it. He said it takes 6 months for me to possess a spiritual son. Because of experience, we don't want to accept people anyhow. I said, sir, you have all the time you need. Hallelujah. Amen. Every time I go, I listen to deep things that they have found in the corridors of heaven. He might say one today, it doesn't make sense for you until 2 years' time. Because the more and more you become a principality, when you speak, it's a parable. I know what I'm saying doesn't make sense to you. Maybe in the next 15 years, it will. Are you still with me? Religion is a lie. And if that's what you call Christianity, I will not be the number. Because I know the living Christ, him that is living now, of whom the scripture speaks. You know, they came to Peter and said, we have found the Christ of whom the prophet spoke. That one, that guy, what he has seen is superior to what the prophet said, because he's in contact with the reality. Many people die in the book and never get to understand that the book testifies about the level of reality that God has called us into. That's what Christianity is. Operating the level of reality. Take the religion out of it. Let's operate in that life. And every one of us will do the supernatural and natural. We do the natural and supernatural. You need to pray before somebody knows you have God. Today we need to have a government to govern the church or to divide. We need an archbishop, an assistant bishop, and oh my God, wake up! The people that began the work of the kingdom after Jesus left were unschooled. But something came upon them. They checked their name in the registers of the schools of those days, they didn't find it. And they took notice that they had been one with Jesus. If you are being with Jesus, then we know. Don't deceive us. The divine life. That's the ability to impart knowledge. It can bring illumination. It can quicken. And it can also administer strength. And I assure you, there are some battles you fight. If you are not strengthened for it, you may catch one. I've been in the corridors of spiritual warfare for many years. In Christianity, I can tell you I'm old. Hallelujah. I've been there for more than 25 years. I've seen the bad, the good, the ugly, thick, most of the time. But I'm calling this generation is to pray for the revival of the true faith that Jesus left. So that his church can manifest the glory that we see in the book of Acts and Apostles and take that dimension to another level of excellence. Where are you today? Give us your family, you are not able to take them, and you claim you have surveyed. We are born on a bad day where Christianity became abnormal and subnormal. But we have a call from God to revive it and to restore it. The mosaic of the apostolic and the prophetic is to present Christianity the way it is by scripture. Irrespective of who is offended. People have built systems, churches, on a level of Christianity that doesn't satisfy the book of Acts of the Apostles. We are here to keep those kind of ministry. We pray with every preaching, with our lifestyle, we are here to kill it. Are you still with me? The living Christ is still alive today. He can speak for himself. Still alive. His life and times have not been packaged in a book. He's still here to talk. That have never read the Bible that have given their life to Christ and they know Jesus in prayer. Because he's alive. And we that have the Bible don't know him. Turn with me quickly. John chapter 14 as we begin this job. It can impact strength. The prophet cried and said, this is a day of rebuke and a day of prosper. For the mothers have come to pay and there's no strength to bring forth. Have you ever been there? What is in your womb is about to come forth and then in midway your strength leaves. We have not been there before. The Bible says people they use that date, just in case you are claiming that you are blessed. He said the young man shall not carry forth. His confidence in himself will bring him to a point where if he falls, there's no hope of resurrection. But he said, bear that weight upon in God and in the divine life, there is what will be a new self. There was a day, death came, we ran away. And the people that brought death thought that if they come the next day, we'll run away. We went back and repented. And prayed for 7 hours. Then we were ready to die.
When the people that brought death came in and saw them to die, then they said, did what? Why? Because there's newer in him. If you fell yesterday, rise up and go back. That which made you fear will eventually become afraid of you. In that life, there is strength. You could see that how Peter and John were beaten and one never could speak in that day. They came into the congregation of the righteous. And the guys gathered and fermented and concocted a prayer and released it. When they began to pray, the Bible said, even the foundation of the place where they were saying, they began to speak in tongues and they spoke the word of God. Every form of terror saw its end that day. Because there was a new one, there's a new one strength, the life of God. God will not pardon you if you say the excuse you have is that strength failed you. No. Because you have made available the possibility of renewal of what? He won't pardon you if you say, I fell on a woman and I remained there till I was raptured to her. He will judge you very well. Why? Because the strength of that fact. And you say, oh my God, money comes through my table and sometimes I sign out thousands. 5,000 on Monday, 12,000 on Tuesday. That's how I survive. I live beyond my means somehow. I felt it was an open door from God. And when you preach about it, I found no strength to stop. Because I looked upon my son when he cried in the night. I said, ah! In the kingdom and in the life of God, there's strength. And your work with God will begin. If you win the argument against the flesh that is trying to contend for mastery in your life, if you win that argument, then you start a life of faith. And that life of faith is the normal for that purpose. We see the man of conviction. A man that can model a life that his ancestors never lived. A man whose life will be programmed and facilitated by the seed of that which has been punished by the Holy Ghost in the Spirit. And he will model it and live it until the fullness of that which he believes begins to manifest. And then when men are attracted to him and want to learn his ways, he will teach that which he has preached. Such is the way of faith. And that's how Abraham earned the title, the father of faith. Because if you are going to walk with God, your life won't be too different from Abraham's life. Should I tell you something? Ah, you don't want to hear it.
I know you don't want to hear it. It's not my voice, please. It's the voice of an old man. You got it? Are you still with me?
Amen. Listen. Don't continue another day without the Christ of which we speak is alive today. You can know him. In fact, there's made enough provision for us to know him. The least, from the least to the present. Made enough of provision. So if you still continue religion in the shadows, it's not because there's no light. The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not because knowledge is not available. He said, because you have rejected knowledge. The people died for lack of knowledge because knowledge actually came and they rejected it. Not that it was not available. I don't know if we fulfill that prophecy. But I assure you, and I tell you the truth, I've traveled wide. And the Christianity in Nigeria is not that of the Bible. The best of what we have to offer is diminished to the face of what we see in the Acts of the Apostles. And a few men have been raised to restore the integrity of that which the apostles lived and died for. It might not be popular. You may not even like what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Amen. One thing I can assure you is that you will not stop saying it. That's the first one. And just in case you are too offended, please don't come tomorrow. Alright? 20 years from today, we will compare notes. You will still be struggling. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
I know it's difficult. I understand that when truth begins to come, humanity fights it.
If God really speaks to you and say, take that song, everything about you will fight it. Everything. If God speaks his offensive to humanity, that's why prophets were stoned sometimes. People that spoke God's word were killed. Because the word of God is difficult to speak. You must be a dead man to speak it. You must be born again to be able to speak it. You must understand that somebody died for you to live before you can speak it. The gospel is not cheap message. It's a message that brings a man to death so that he can rise up in Christ. Only in Christ can men rise. And only the gospel can show you that possibility. I don't know, I've been trying to preach. I brought a sermon. Oh God. John 14. Will you go on the way you are going? The average Christian doesn't have a consistent prayer life. He has no covenant with God. Our teachings are stolen. When we pray, it doesn't come to pass. When we decree, it comes back like a boomerang. The average Christian just goes on emotion and says, it's well. And now they have added a phrase to it, it is well. Even if they were, because most times they were there. I thought that I was white and black. But now I found out it's white, black, and gray. And the average Christian lives on gray. Some to darkness and into the light. I pray that you come out of that dungeon and you will see the light. The way it appeared to Jacob in Peniel, when the sun arose, every darkness was exposed. Don't continue like this, it's risky. It's risky. That's why demons have become so popular. Prison packed. In fact, they have names now. One is Asmodee, Acharya, Maradona. We didn't know that when we were training. The old prophets didn't know the names of demons, but they had power to cast them out. They didn't know their identities. They didn't study to have them manifested. But they knew a name. That name was sufficient. That name was something. That name had enough power. Oh God. I feel sick inside. When I see people, they say they are Christian. I don't know what the Muslim believes, because he's ready to die. But among all he believes, life is not in it, but he's ready to die. But you see, our unwillingness to sacrifice for Jesus is a proof that we are not ready to surrender what we are today to receive what he has. And when darkness perpetually comes into eternity, the believers in that place need to repent, because they are misrepresenting God. In the days of Elijah, one man coming out of the cave challenged darkness and drove it back. One man. The Bible says by a prophet. The Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet he preserved them. I will always say this. Only God knows the power that is in the prophet. One. With one prophet he delivered the mission. And darkness is still moving your family. Start from there. Let that be your assignment first. Your family. Knock everything out first. Knock it out. I stand here today because I knocked the lack of them. I knocked the lack of them. The lack of them that spoke for Satan. He woke up. Oh, you know this story. Two principalities cannot be in the same place. That's why the heaven sought to kill Jesus. Two kings cannot reign at the same time. We have seen star in the east. His glory shone as far as the eastern countries in the land of the hidden. It was magicians and sorcerers and occultic men that saw it and traced it. If you know ancient English, every time you see Magus or Maga, it means the king's sorcerer. The sorcerer sent by the hand of the king. The one that gives the king spiritual cancer. Those were the people that saw the star. I mean occultists saw it. I mean necromancer saw it. I mean astrologer saw it. If a priest rises, occultists will see it. Astrologers will see it. Sorcerers will see it. Custodians of Azor will take notice. If you are still behind it today, you know that they don't know you. Hair doesn't know you. And it's abnormal for you to say like this. What we have is an aberration. It's something we need to cry about. But people are bold about it. Don't say it in the public. The you see the criteria for choosing deacons in the Bible? How many pastors satisfy it? Have you read that chapter 6 before? We are living in a bad day where pastors used to. My God have mercy. God has a work of mercy. He's not the one. Now many will fall by the pulpit. But those days will still come. But the blazing holiness of God will appear like light. And any vessel in which darkness is because you will sleep because of the purity of the fellowship. The prayer rises up in my spirit. We need to repent for ourselves and our life. Somebody died in the conference and the man of God rose up and said, you, they were carrying him to bed. He said, not if I can. When I die, the Catholic ministers that died in the conference. But I'm still here. Oh my God. And with the word of prayer, I tapped the man on the lips. The man rose up. He said, not if I can. We need John the Baptist. Not in my time. I watched a video clip, bursting in the house. Somebody died in his house. He said, you don't come here to die, you come here to live. He said that you die here means you will rise. Pray for the person didn't rise. Took water. He said, put back water. Open it and pour the woman's blood. If you have a man like that, 240 people will receive ground. They will relocate their chambers. Because they're going to pass by and say, hey! Something will wither. Philip went to Samaria, was an ordinary deacon. Met with the principalities of the town. When the man saw that he didn't have enough power like him, he became his companion. He joined the people that came from Tizen. Wore white clothes like them. Yes, you have that. Yes. He was not born again, though, but not to survive.
Yes, you have that.
Help me with that song.
Yes, you have that. Hallelujah.
To survive.
Yes, you have
that. Yes, you
with charm, and suddenly, when we went up with the charm, they walked away. You now look in the bed. I know I don't mean like where I can break charm. So I thought, he didn't know the source of his problem. He stopped the car and came out. He didn't feel secure again.
Hello, Emma.
The spirit and the power of the true God needs to visit this land again. We have been advertising duplicates. But I tell you, the last time Jesus appeared to me, he said, tell my people I will return. Because I told him some things that bothered me. And as far as he was concerned, those things did not bother me. But as he was leaving, he turned and said, I will return. And tell you, he's about to come.
Yeah.
Hey, anything that stands in his way, he will crush it.
Yeah.
That was 2006 on the 24th of October. Alright? He told me now. You remember I said I'm coming. He's coming now. What I'm doing is clear the way for him because there's no way for him in the heart of men anymore. People have imbibed religion, accepted the false Christ, received a different spirit, and listened to a different gospel. But he's come. Before he comes, he sends a foreigner to prepare the way in the hearts of men so that they can receive him. Because if that way don't prepare, he spies the land with the cost. Come and sing to the Lord.
is here today. Make sure you are calling.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus is coming into various.
is coming into the bosom. Alright, let me pray from here. I pray from here. He will fall, oh my God, on this ground. And then when he begins to walk, I'll begin to tell you what he wants to do, he will begin to do. And there are several lines that have been shot that is opening now. I'm seeing some places where I don't know their names. But if we go too far, God will begin to minister the names of those villages. Because I see the Lord set his foot there. He says it. Who told you that the devil has won? No. If God comes in the morning, nobody will know. But if he comes in the night, by the brilliance of his appearance, people will bow to him. There's somebody in the crowd, your hand is beginning to burn. It's burning. As your hand, if you are the one that your hand is burning, lift it. It's burning.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hey!
Now pray for the next 5 minutes. For the next 5 minutes. Things are about to be restored.
Anywhere you are, well, I'd like you to lift up your hands right now. Something to restore. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Listen to me. Listen to me. There's a woman here that is being tormented by demons. God is going to liberate that person. God shows me a man that has been hungry for him. He's going to anoint that man to be saved. Alright? If you can believe, you'll be healed. If you can believe, you'll be healed from any kind of sickness and health disorder. If you can believe. Alright, let me pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, many years ago you appeared to me and you said, you will return. I did not quite like understand what you meant when you said you would return. But now, you have begun to grant me understanding. Now the season of your coming is here. And it's your good pleasure to trample this land underfoot. And to bring every spirit of rebellion under your feet. To bring the custodians, the apostles of darkness to utter shame and defeat. To enthrone yourself as King and God. And we stand as your people. To pave way for that which you want to do. By preparing the hearts of men for this great avalanche of the Spirit. That the small, the great, the mighty, the kings will happen. And everyone will bow down in repentance to your majesty. This season has come. We dedicate our hearts to that purpose of yours, O God. That you might reign triumphantly and gloriously. That your light will be clear and brilliant and your radiation will come with great splendor. Oh God, we come upon you. There be many, Lord, that wait, that weep, that say, when shall it be? When shall be the time of your coming? When shall be the day of our deliverance? And you are witness that that deliverance will begin even from tonight. Oh God, I pray that you rend the heavens. That you open the vistas of heaven and come down. There is a young man in our midst, oh God, that has been calling for you. Finally, his heart has reached alignment with the Spirit. Do not pass him by. Pour on him. Pour on him. Pour on him. Pour on him grace. 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 Grace, oh God. Might clothe one from among you. This day the Lord has found you. Let praise from heaven descend. And the fountain of the great King be broken. Let the window of heaven open. Many people from different nations will be standing to build your walls, your defenses. People from different nations will run to make your life that which God intends it to be. Help will come from you. Come to you not from people that you are related to, but from people that you have never known. From different nations, from different countries. They will make mention of your name. They will run to you to assist you, to help you. For the Lord this day makes you a priest. A priest, a priest, a priest. He says he has given you a hearing in the midst of the heavens, that your prayers will move things, your prayers will shake things. He said, only stay before me and pray in the night time. Only stay before me and come out. And I will answer you. I will give you strength, power, strength, power. That's okay. I don't know the other man that stands beside you, because it is my determinate will to set you on high, that men might look to you and men will see my glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In the next 5 minutes, I'd like you to pray. Something is coming. It's like a thunder. It's coming from heaven.
Oh,
Thank you.
visit our land with your rain. Let all the enclaves and troubles, especially places of darkness, that have been exalted and been heard, let their memory be blotted out. Let the memory of those spirits be forgotten. Lord, we stretch your hands over this land, over this state, that have been power that has held your people captive. Let it all over the land be broken tonight. Let it be broken. 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 Let it be. Of the water side. All the spirits that have given satanic visions to men. I cross the memory. I cross the altars. I cross the foundation. I don't put what they have planted. I don't put it. I don't put it. I don't put it. I don't put it. I put it. I put it. In the name of Jesus. I see. There was something that was buried in this roundabout. This roundabout. This roundabout. There's something that was buried. A part of contact or what water spirit. I see that that spirit leaves the river and comes to that place once and again. And the Lord has put a word upon my lips. I'm not going to stretch your hand in that direction and begin to speak in tongues. There's a children. There's so much of God up here. In the kindest expectation of the creation, let it fall, the manifestation of the sons of God. Then I hear. I don't put from your foundation everything that was planted, and the name of the devil was spoken about it. I render it now and then. Thou spirit, thou spirit of darkness, thou water spirit. In the name of Jesus, I lift my lips, the banner of the blood of Jesus in the door of your world and no further. Sakabala bala, bakabala kabala ka, sakabala kasetobira bala, paila ka, paila makaka, paila skade, paila baka, paila kabala, kasapa, kasaka. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Listen to me. Listen, listen, listen. I see some members of some of your families here. They have been tied by that spirit for execution, for death. That same spirit we have casting out. I said this for your praise. They are some captives. I come in the name of the Lord Jesus. I stand in the office of the call. And I command you, oh Jesus. They are already losing them. They are losing them. They are losing them. No weapon that is not against you shall be able to prosper. Every weapon under lock and key, under stone, under tree, in the rock, I command them, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Listen, listen. God says to announce to you. A mighty rain will fall this year. Mighty. Hear me, hear me, hear me. Great God. It will cause some disaster. But don't weep because of the disaster. That is a sign that the river has fallen. Don't weep. Things will be flushed out. Some houses will come. But who knows that sign? A great rain will fall. But you see, don't mourn for the people who have broken down houses. The spirit of the river has fallen. That shall be a sign for you. Listen to me. The power of immorality is breaking now. It's breaking now. It's breaking now. from the necks of the prince of the title, from the hidden parts of this land. We proclaim the voice of righteousness, the voice of grace, the voice of God, the spirit of grace, and we bring judgment on every spirit of immorality in the name of Jesus Christ.
A great flame shall fall. A great flame. Houses to give way. Many things will happen. Be strong. Do not wait.
It is a sign. The spirit of the water has come.
There are many ambassadors and prophets of that spirit that will fall along.
Listen.
From the forsaking of altars in Wewes to the black magicians of Jatoka, many there be that will fall along, that will fall. Men will be cut off. Men will be cut off by the power.
Who can stand when the Lord is marching? Who can boast when the angel of days rides on the chariot? Jehovah Sabaoth, the man of war. Lift your voice and come on him. Lift your voice, come on him. Come on him. Come on him. Come on him to the body and preach on your family. Let him preach the land. The spirit of liberty is walking over the land. The man does that are written. Those that are sick, those that are about to die, keep it to bed. Command them to rise.